Let's talk about dance. Tanztheater calling.
Hannah was very convinced that you should also speak etwas auf Deutsch, weil dein Deutsch soll so gut sein.
Ja, es ist gut. Ich kann Deutsch. Well, I would be more comfortable in English, but I could also do a few in German.
I can ask the nasty questions in German. So, Dean, maybe we start the session.
Sure.
It's a pleasure having you here. Hello,
Thank you.
We have not morning, but sort of afternoon. And maybe you can quickly introduce yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm from the United States, and I was born in New York, in Long Island, New York. And I also grew up in Vermont and North Carolina. I started dancing actually almost my whole life. I've been dancing since I was 7. So I started with jazz and tap and hip hop style dance. So I did that for a long time until high school. I started my concert dance experience, I guess. So I started studying modern and classical ballet at North Carolina School of the Arts. And that kind of opened my eyes to a new world of dance that I didn't know before. After that, I continued my studies at Juilliard in New York. Yeah, and after that, I moved to Germany.
Oh God, how came that? What happened?
Well, I just, I wanted a different experience. So I came to Europe to audition, and I got a job in Saarbrücken. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, my dance professional career started a bit in New York freelancing. So I was working for Brian Brooks and for Lara Lubavitch Dance Company. I got to do a few projects with them before I left New York, and then I started in Saarbrücken.
And there you were just 1 year before you joined the company, is that right?
I was there for 4 years.
Oh, for four? Look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and you're just a member of the company since this season, that's correct, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. You just talked about Juilliard, and Pina also was a student of Juilliard a long time ago. There is also a connection with the company. So what was your first encounter with Pina's work? Or was it already there? Or did you hear it before? Or did you see it at BAM in New York? Or
I heard of her before, as I said, when I started at my high school at this performing arts high school in North Carolina, when I entered into this world of concert dance, I quickly learned about Pina Bausch. And it was actually around the time of her death. And I think the first thing I saw of her was a video, and shortly after I saw the documentary about her, the Pina documentary.
The one from Wim Wenders, or which one?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So Wim, thank you for that, making this.
Yes, thank you.
And then, please go on.
And I continued, and Juilliard also studied some of her pieces in our dance history classes because of how much of a pioneer she was. Of course, we get to learn about her. And I was just amazed by what I saw. Every time I saw a video from her, it changed my perspective of dance, just the same way she changed, actually, the dance world. Yeah, from there, I was so inspired, and it was always in the back of my mind as something that I hoped I could do someday. So very happy to be fulfilling that dream. Yeah.
And now you're in the lockdown. How's it in Germany in the lockdown? Is it fun?
Oh, it's, a lot of time at home.
How was your first year? I think it's very interesting to see when you achieved like this kind of step and you joined the company and suddenly in a situation where due to things from outside and this pandemic, everything's changed. So can you share a bit what you're doing now or how your daily routine looks like?
Yeah. So we are doing Zoom classes right now online, to keep in shape and keep dancing a bit. And we got to start working a little bit in the studio as well. I think 2 weeks ago, we started doing one-on-one rehearsals, and now we're working on a new creation with Richard Siegel. So that's been taking up some of my daily schedule, and the rest, I just try to stay busy doing something besides, watching Netflix or something like that. So I usually save that for the night, and during the day, Yeah, I picked up a guitar actually.
Oh, cool.
As another side hobby. So I've been
What are you playing with the guitar at the moment? You're more like a kind of songwriter or like doing your singing thing?
Well, I'm still very basic right now. I can sing along with some tunes, but I've been doing a classical guitar program online, but still very basic beginner.
And Dean's German is very good. So we have, we must a bisschen Deutsch sprechen. So we have to speak at least one or two things in German. When did you learn German? Did you do it in Saarbrücken or did you do it before? Mm. Hast du da schon Deutsch gelernt?
Ja, also als ich hier gekommen bin in Deutschland, habe ich schon angefangen. Und
so when he came to Germany, he started learning German. We have a lot of dancers in the company for 30, 40, I don't know how many years. And they also can speak German, but maybe not so much like Dean.
Oh, no, I don't know if it's accurate.
Do you think it's a kind of connection? I mean, I'm now living in Holland and learning Dutch was also not so much fun in the beginning.
I think it's hard to learn. Well, first of all, it's kind of a hard language to learn. And then also with our career that being a dancer in Germany, most of the time you don't really have to speak German at work. Most of the companies function in English. You have to push yourself really because you don't really need it that much. It's very convenient to have it for many things. Yeah, I think you definitely get a feel for the culture more just to hear the way people interact with each other in their own language. And I was enjoying learning it, so it kind of helped push myself to keep going.
Maybe you can describe also the difference between the American or let's say the New York dance world or the practices in Europe or let's say your experience you made in Germany.
I think the structure is really different. In the US right now, there aren't so many full-time companies. So a lot of the work is freelancing. There are, of course, there are some around the country, but it's more project-based freelance work. And here, I think there's this structure set up in Germany with the Staatstheater, and every city has their own theater and their own company. And
almost. I mean, we'd see how this goes after the pandemic, but
hopefully that stays true. But I think that, that's the biggest difference that I've noticed is in the structure. I think the style, anywhere you are, you can find any style. So I would say the main difference is in that kind of structure or the style of, this project versus full-time or year-round, I guess you'd say.
When you wrote your application to come to Tanztheater Wuppertal, what was the impulse? Did you say like they were touring quite a lot or it's a well-known company or you like Pina's work? Because I think it's interesting to figure out what brought you here.
I think it's a combination of many of those things that you mentioned. The main thing, though, I would say was Pina's work, definitely. Mm-hmm. As I said, I was so inspired seeing her work, and that really is what drew me to audition for the company in the first place. And then, of course, on top of that, you have a company full of amazing, inspiring artists. And another layer is the touring, of course, which is a nice little plus that you have. Even though I haven't gotten to do that yet, but but yeah, I would say definitely Pina's work, the artists, and the legacy of the company is what drew me to come here.
And Dean, what was it with Pina's work? What inspired you? What was the first piece you saw? Because everybody has like this kind of first piece story, and everybody has been touched on one or two or different sides. So, what was your thing which made the change?
I think the first piece I saw was Café Müller, and that was, I mean, it just, as I said before, it changed my whole view, my whole perspective. And at that time, as I said, I was also just entering into this world of concert dance and, you know, modern and contemporary. And so I was already getting a lot of new information, and this was something that really stuck out to me. I had never seen anything like it before. And I think it was this duality of something so surreal that you're seeing on stage, this world that you would never experience in real life. And then on the other side of it, there's this element of humanity and relatability. So you're watching something that you could never experience in real life, yet there are these moments inside that you feel so related to that. You felt this feeling before that she's portraying in this way that you would never physically feel probably in real life, but you know that emotion when you see it and it makes you feel something and you have this connection. So I think that for me was the biggest thing that she, from my perspective, that she was conveying something so human. And so much of dance is about achieving this, or what, you know, what we learn as we're training is achieving this beauty or this physical thing, which she did as well, but she achieved it in a different way. She makes you see beauty in a different way. You know, I would have never thought that I would see a piece on stage like Café Mula, where a woman is running around blind and bumping into chairs, you know, and when you're being trained in dance, it's not the first thing that you think of. You're trying to avoid bumping into things and falling over. And then you see this, and it's so beautiful to watch this humanity in it. That really struck me. And that's, I think, what pulled me in.
And what's then this humanity?
Humanity, I think it's emotional, mostly. At her work, there are moments where she can convey an emotion, or I think an example can be in Café Mula when the man is holding the woman and she keeps falling and getting back up, and another man comes and rearranges her, and it keeps happening over and over again. And although I've never experienced that physically, falling on the floor and getting back up into somebody's arms, but you can relate to that emotion of maybe it's, you know, a relationship or an endless cycle that you put yourself in, or something, you know, there's this man putting her there too. So maybe it's something monotonous or out of your control. And it just sparks all of these ideas and all of these emotions. And that, I think, is the humanity in her work that I see.
How old are you, Dean? May I ask this question?
Yeah,
you can also lie if you want.
No, I'll tell the truth. I'm 26.
As a dancer, which comes from a completely different age background maybe than other people, or have a kind of different experience also of the world, coming from a different country. What do you think you can contribute? What are you bringing on the table, you know, for the work, for the heritage?
Well, I think what I was just talking about, this emotion, this thing that is present in Pina's work, it's so timeless also. And I think it has been conveyed through many generations. As you said, I'm from a younger generation, yet this work that she made 50 or more years ago is still so present and timeless. It doesn't feel old or outdated. It feels so relevant still. So I think the work is timeless. And then also the company is evolving, and there are a lot of new younger dancers and a younger generation, which I'm a part of. You know, we have maybe different experiences of what we have had in our dance journeys, and those things can all go into Pina's work as well, as it is so timeless. So I can bring, even though I'm from a different generation and maybe had different experiences than my colleagues that worked with Pina, since it's so timeless, I think I can bring my own experiences into the work, regardless of age or difference of generation and the times that we live in. I think there are many aspects.
I think maybe also something which then connects all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, also as a spectator, I mean, I also know the scenes you described, and I have maybe a similar feeling, or also a kind of this endless circle going on, and in this circle in which you are, and then you say, oh, Jesus Christ, do I get out of it, or I'm still falling? I also know that you were in the restaging of the piece with the ship. That's right. Huh?
Yes.
And how was this? Sie müssen wissen, dass wir hier rausgeworfen worden sind von dem Herrn Fischer. We were thrown out of the meeting. Yes, yes, yes. But Dean, thank you that you're still with us.
Yeah,
and I hope it wasn't too tiring. Maybe just coming back to the question about your experience with das Stück mit dem Schiff, like the restaging. Mm-hmm. How was it for you to do this production?
Yeah, it was the first piece that I've gotten to work a full process all the way through. All of the other pieces I started learning, unfortunately, were cut short in the process because of Corona. So this was the first time I got to go all the way through the process, learn the full piece, and be on stage with my colleagues, even though it was without an audience. It was a great experience. Pina's work is so particular, so it was very different from anything else I've ever done before. And the restaging was a great process. I learned my role not from the original dancer, but from one of the Probeleiter. So it was a lot of watching the video together, learning, relearning the steps, and kind of deciphering what they originally were from this old video.
But you could see something. The videos were still okay.
Yeah. And it was really nice, actually, because there were some moments where we looked at, they recorded also a lot of the rehearsals. So I got to watch some old rehearsal videos of Pina in the studio with the dancers. And that was really interesting to see and inspiring to see. And you could see where the movement was developed from and what it later turned into.
Do you have an example?
I think, well, a lot of her pieces they made from, she would give them questions and they had some time to develop either movement or text or anything to respond to those questions. So it would could be maybe a long phrase or some movement that repeated. And later as the rehearsals went on and you watched more videos, maybe she would take one movement from the phrase and that would end up in the final product. So it was very interesting to watch how it developed over time and she takes little things or maybe she changed them or how her input onto them, which I never actually heard her input, but you can see there's some development happening of the movement. So that was also really helpful for me to step into the role. I could have a little bit of a taste of the process, which I think allows you to put yourself into it because you can see how that person developed in their role in the creation and you can see a bit of this humanity as well of their development. So I had a great time. It was really cool to be dancing on sand.
How was that? I mean, I danced on sand on the beach, but that wasn't so cool. Maybe the dance also wasn't so cool, but tell us a bit more.
Yeah, this is also a big part of Pina. What is so beautiful to Pina's work to me is also the set. And you just walk on the stage and you see this huge ship. It's kind of crooked, you know, it really looks like it just got washed up onto the stage. And that already conveys some emotion there, just seeing this beautiful stage. And then you're dancing in the sand. It's a bit wet. So you have these obstacles too, which adds another layer onto the movement. You're not just dancing on a normal dance stage, but you have something else to deal with also, which you didn't have in the studio. So then it adds more to the movement and more to your story inside of the movement.
Because it's also dangerous, I can assume, huh?
Yeah, and how to turn that obstacle into, not an obstacle, but something that you're working with and how to incorporate that into your role, into the movement.
Wait until you get into the water.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, well, the salt is the salt also coming, but I think that this piece maybe they don't do anymore. But was it Tanzabend 2 or something? Yeah, it's interesting also because you didn't do it before in the sense of, or danced in kind of an aesthetic where the set was also kind of partner so much, I assume. Huh?
Yes, I think a set can many times be a decoration or also there to convey a space and an emotion, but it's the first time that it's been so interactive for me in that way where you really have this thing, you're dancing on it the whole time. It's not something that you might dance with for one scene, but it's really, it's there for the piece and you have to dance in it.
Dean, maybe as a last question, what would you wish for your time being in Wuppertal? I mean, also like for sure for the company, but also in the context of living in the city or experience the city.
Well, for my artistry, I guess, my personal artistry is, of course, as we always want to do, but keep growing. I think there's so much to learn here, and I've gotten a little taste of it so far in this half of a season. So I'm just excited to continue on that journey and learn from my colleagues, also get to know Wuppertal better and see what else it has to offer. It's exciting that this Pina Bausch Zentrum is happening as well. So that's going to be a nice addition to what the city has to offer. Yeah, I think my wishes are quite simple, just to keep growing and continue on this journey of discovery and finding new ways, hopefully like Pina did herself, you know, breaking boundaries and growing.
Dean, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, everybody.
You know that Wuppertal was also in the New York Times as one of the hot spots in the world, you know?
Yes.
And I'm not from the city marketing, but it is hot shit. Wuppertal is hot shit. It's going on. And not only at the Tanzer, it's a big city. You're great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tschüss.
Tschüss.